Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Bibles, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We have been looking through the book of Luke for some time. In Luke chapter 12, we have Christ describing himself in a very unusual way. Oftentimes, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as one who brings together unity. And we think of him as the Prince of Peace, the one who brings harmony into a room. But Jesus says something quite different about himself. Now, he's been talking in Luke chapter 12 about his second coming. He's talked about the fact that that we need to be prepared. We need to be serving him. We need to be watching for his coming. And if we're watching for his coming, we're going to behave ourselves the way we should behave ourselves. The Bible says, "If as beloved now are we the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then the Bible goes on to say that those that have this hope within them purify themselves. The fact is, when we think about the coming of Christ, and we have that constantly before us, recognizing the fact that he could come at any minute, it keeps us living a holy life. It keeps us living the right type of life. And God wants us to live that way, living holy, living righteous, living pure. Well, as Jesus is talking about that, talking about his second coming, talking about the fact that he is going to come and he's going to hold you and I as his stewards accountable to him, he comes to verse 49 of Luke chapter 12, and he says, "I am come to send fire." That word fire is the word, is a fire of judgment. "I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled?" He says the fire that I am coming to bring on this earth has already been kindled. We'll see that it was kindled when he was born. When he was born, the Bible tells us in heaven, in Revelation chapter 12, Satan saw that the woman was about to bring forth her child, and Satan himself came from heaven to fight, to cause division, to do what he could to destroy the coming one, the Messiah. When Jesus came, understand this, when Jesus came to this earth is in rebellion to God. You and I live on a rebellious planet. We live on a rebellious planet filled with rebellious people. Everybody wants to do their own thing. Why do we have wars? Why do I have fighting amongst us? Because we are selfish. We are self-centered. We live in a world because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And because we turned this world over to Satan, who is now the god of this world. We live in a world that is in rebellion to the God of the universe. And when Jesus came, when he came, the fire came with him. He came to say to this world, "Your judgment has come." The Messiah came to invade this world and to take this world back into his possession. When he did that, Satan hated what took place. Jesus is talking about his second coming, and he says, "Listen, I want you to know, when I came to send fire on this earth. And what will it if it already be kindled?" The fire, the judgment fire, is coming. "But I have a baptism to be baptized with." And we'll see what he means by that in just a moment. "I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" He said, I'm pressed, I'm burdened to accomplish this baptism. Oftentimes we think of baptism only of the baptism of water. When somebody trusts Christ as their Lord and Savior, they follow the Lord in believer's baptism, saying that "I believe that Jesus suffered and died and was buried and rose from the dead for me. And baptism, water baptism, is a picture of his death, his burial. That's why we go underneath the water, and his rising from the dead. That's why they come up out of the water. And aren't you glad we just don't leave you under the water? And so you're brought up out of the water because you rise from the dead. And then, and that's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's an identification with his death, burial, and resurrection. It's an identification with the doctrine of the church. It's an identification with the church, and you become a member of the church through baptism. But when we think of that baptism, but there are several different baptisms in the Bible. The most important baptism is this baptism that Jesus talks about here. Jesus' baptism was the true baptism. His baptism was the baptism into death. He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead for us. That's his baptism. And he said that's going to happen. And when that happens, that will be the fire really falling. We'll see that in a moment as well. Verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. And you will equate with this next statement. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. There's going to be friction within homes over my message of judgment. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. You thought that was just natural. No, that's part of the judgment. Mother-in-laws don't like daughter-in-laws, and daughter-in-laws don't like mother-in-laws. The Bible says, and he said to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, hey, there cometh a storm, a shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern the signs of the times? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? You see things going, but you refuse to see my judgment is coming. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, that is, if you're going to court, your adversary comes and he's going to take you to court. As thou art in the way, before you get to the court, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him. Lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison. I tell you, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. We're going to look at several things that Jesus teaches us about him this evening as we talk about this subject, Christ the divider. Christ the divider. Father, I pray that you just teach us from your word. Help us to see what you our meaning by this passage of scripture that so often is just overlooked. Help us to look at it in detail and see that we have a responsibility to proclaim your judgment. And Father, we have a responsibility to live wisely in this world. Help us to learn from this passage that we might be more like you and reflect you. And Lord Jesus, I ask this in your name. Amen. Jesus said this, number one, he said, I am come to judge this world with fire. Jesus came to judge this world with fire. He says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I, that if it be already kindled? The fire, he says, is already kindled. He goes on to say, but I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Jesus said this in Luke chapter 3. Turn back to Luke chapter 3. Let me read this with you since we are in the book of Luke. Verses 16 through 17. John the Baptist said this about them when they asked who he was. John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, when I went to the Pentecostal church, they would say, we want the baptism of fire. We want to be baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is speaking to a mixed group. John was speaking to a mixed group. John knew that some there were believers and believed the message that he was proclaiming, that they had sinned and they needed to repent and they needed to come. They needed a savior. Others were rejecting the message of John, that they needed a Messiah, that they needed a savior. And he says to this mixed multitude, listen, I want you to know, I'm here proclaiming baptism. I'm telling you, you need to repent of your sin and you need to prepare for the coming Messiah. But he said, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. He's going to baptize with two different baptisms. He's going to baptize those who receive him with the Holy Spirit. When I come to Jesus and I say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I know that you are God, that you suffered and died to pay for my sin. And I call on him and I ask him to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. The Bible says this happens. The Bible says before I was saved, I'm dead spiritually. I have a body and a soul, but my spirit is dead. The Bible says when I call on Jesus, he hears me. And the Bible says he sends his Holy Spirit to come and live inside of me. He quickens my dead spirit. I become alive spiritually. Now I have his spirit living inside of me and I am alive spiritually. I am born again of the Spirit. At the moment I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior and God, I am born again. I receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes me with the Holy Spirit at the moment I get saved. Now, I was taught earlier in my life that baptism of the Holy Spirit comes way after you get saved. No, there's not a second blessing. There's not a second thing that takes place. At the moment you get saved, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you. John was saying, look, I baptize you with water under repentance as proof that you're prepared to receive the Messiah. But one's coming after me who's going to baptize those who receive him are going to be filled with his Holy Spirit at the moment he gets saved. And that's what happens. We get saved. His Spirit comes to live inside of us. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth. Now, he said, for those who don't get saved, those who don't trust Christ, those who think they don't need repentance, those who are ignoring this thing about repentance, changing your mind. Those who don't think they need this, they're going to be baptized with fire. You say, how do you know that there's a difference? Because look what he says. He goes on to say in verse 17, whose fan is in his hand and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, those that are saved are the wheat, but the shaft will he burn with fire unquenchable. Ooh, this is a hot, fiery judgment that he's bringing. Jesus is telling us in Luke chapter 12, I want you to understand that I am coming, and at my coming, I brought with me a judgment of fire. We need to understand Jesus proclaims that he will judge, and he is going to judge, and he does judge with fire. The Bible tells us about at least three different types of fire that we will be judged with, that the world will be judged with. First of all, the fire of hell. The fire of hell. In Luke chapter 16, we read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. In Luke 16:24, the rich man, the Bible says, cried. He cried and said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. God describes hell. Jesus is telling this story. Jesus is telling this true story, and this is not a parable. In Luke chapter 16, the Jehovah Witnesses will tell you that this is a parable. It is not a parable because it doesn't have the markings of a parable. Jesus didn't say it was like unto, or he didn't say, I'm going to tell you a parable. He didn't say, let me make this clear. This is not a real story. In a parable, Jesus never uses real names. He speaks as telling the story as a story that really happened. So this is either a true story or Jesus is a liar. Now, Jesus tells this story of a man who died, a rich man who died, and a poor man who died. In this case, the poor man went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to hell fire, and he is tormented in the flames of hell. There's a real place that Jesus talked about where people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will burn forever and ever. It's a horrible thought. The Bible tells us that hell is real. Jesus says, I've come to judge the world with fire, the fires of hell. Number two, there is the consuming fire that will ultimately destroy this planet. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There is a fire that is going to consume everything that is on this planet. There is the fires of hell. There is the fire that is going to consume everything that is on this planet. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. But it's going to be destroyed by fire. Jesus promised Noah, hey, there's not going to be another flood that destroys this earth. This next destruction will be a destruction by fire. Jesus said, hey, I am coming. In Luke chapter 12, he said, I am coming to send fire on this earth. There's another fire that is mentioned, and that's the eternal fire of the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that this first hell that people go to, the rich man, has been there for over 2,000 years in this hell. But that hell will empty itself one day, and those that inhabit that hell will stand at the white throne judgment. We talked about this a few weeks ago. When they stand in front of that white throne judgment, they'll be judged for their works, and they'll be found wanting. They will all have fallen short of the glory of God. They will have sinned, and they will have to pay for their own sin because they did not receive the Savior. And so because they did not receive the Savior, there's no choice. They have to spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible says it this way in Revelation chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They will be there and they will burn in that fire forever and forever and forever. The lake of fire is a fire, is a horrible description. You think of a lake, you're thrown into a lake, you're totally and completely covered by that lake. And when you inhale, when you inhale, there is nothing you can do. If you're in a lake of water, you inhale. That's why you drown. You inhale the water and it drowns you. It's inside and out you. You're totally consumed with the water that's in the lake. In the lake of fire, you're totally and completely consumed by that fire. The Bible tells us this is a real place. We're not talking science fiction. We're not talking some horror movie. We are talking about the reality. The Bible says that this fire of judgment was kindled at the birth of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 12, and we won't take time to turn there out, but I already mentioned this. In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible tells us that, in fact, I think I will. I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to deliver. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. It was as though Satan said, this child's not coming to this. This is my domain. This is my place. And God, and he was ready there to attack the child, bringing judgment on this earth, bringing fire to this earth. Satan fought Christ all his life. He tried to have him destroyed at birth. He fought him all of his life. And I want you to understand, Satan is still fighting the body of Christ. We are here proclaiming this, that Jesus Christ has come and he is going to reclaim this planet. And as we proclaim that to those who are enemies of Christ, the fire of judgment is kindling and kindling and kindling. And so Jesus says this. Next, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened until it be accomplished? He says, I am compelled, I am pressed into. The word straitened means I'm pushed into a particular mold. I'm pressed to accomplish this task. At his baptism, the baptism that he's talking about, as I said a little while ago, was the baptism of his death and his burial and his resurrection. He says, I'm here to fight a battle. I'm here to proclaim judgment on a rebellious world. And the way I'm going to proclaim that judgment is by taking that judgment myself. I've come to this earth. I was born. Satan tried to stop me, but I've come. I've come to proclaim there is a judgment. If you die without Christ, you go to hell. One of these days, this world is going to be consumed by fire. And those who reject me are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. I am here to proclaim that judgment. And I'm telling you, Satan at that point rebels against that. And he doesn't want that. And he's fought that message. And he's fought that message from the time of Christ's birth for the last 2,000 years. And he's fighting you and me. Jesus said, I'm going to have a baptism. And through that baptism, I am going to ignite the fire. The Bible tells us this. You say, how do you know this is the baptism of his death? In Matthew chapter 20, the Bible tells us that James and John get their mother. This is a fascinating story. Get their mother to approach Jesus. And in fact, Jesus tells this. Jesus says, look, I want you guys to understand. I'm about to go to the cross. Let me read this. It says, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise from the dead. So he's just talked about his death, his burial, and his resurrection and this terrible dying that he's going to go through. And what happens? The Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring certain things of him. So she comes up and she says, that was very interesting what you said, you know, about your death, burial, and resurrection. It's almost like that. She wasn't even listening. So it doesn't matter. If we have ears that are not ready to hear, all we hear is, wah, 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 wah. It's Charlie Brown's mom and Charlie Brown's teacher. You ever see those old shows? Wah, 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 wah. And that's what we hear. And they weren't hearing. She wasn't hearing. She was just thinking, okay, hurry up and get through talking. Hurry up and get through talking because I want to ask you something. I got something really important to ask you. You know, maybe sometimes you should not be talking. You should just be listening to Jesus. Can you say amen to that? She wasn't listening. Afterwards, she goes, I'm saying, now, I have a question. She says, these are my boys. This is Jimmy, and this is Johnny, and I love them, and they love you. Yes, I know that. What do you want? Well, what I want to know is, when you get to heaven, and when you're reigning and on your throne, can Johnny sit on your right hand, and can Jimmy sit on your left hand? I'm not sure she said it exactly like that, but that's the picture you get. And Jesus looked at her and said, and looked at her, and then he looks at them. He said, are you guys ready to be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with? Referring to his death, burial, and resurrection. And they said, of course, yes, we're ready. Not knowing what they're talking about. And he said, well, you're going to be suffering the same baptism that I'm baptized with, but it's up to the Father to decide who's going to sit on my right hand and my left. Jesus referred to his death, burial, and resurrection as a baptism. And Jesus here says, look, I'm about to take this baptism. Jesus took the fiery judgment for us himself on the cross. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, I've come to bring judgment. I've come to bring a fiery judgment on this world. But Jesus also said, I'm going to be baptized with a baptism. I'm going to take the fiery judgment for you. Wow. You deserve hell. So I'm going to suffer the equivalent of hell for you on the cross. I'm taking the judgment. The worst thing about hell is not the fire. The worst thing about hell is not the forever. The worst thing about hell is this: absolute separation from the God that created you. And on the cross, Jesus suffered that hell for us. He on that cross, having been eternally one with God the Father, on the cross, he took our sin upon himself. He took our sin upon himself. And once that sin was there, the fire of judgment was thrown on him. And the Bible tells us that God the Father is of purer eyes than to behold sin. God the Father turned his back on God the Son as Jesus suffered that hell for us. He suffered the judgment that he came to bring to this earth. Man. Now, this message of judgment condemns all of us. Dan, this message of judgment says, you're a sinner. It says to each one of us, Jose, you are a sinner. You deserve this. You deserve this. And I want you to understand that it is not a popular message. It is not a message that even many Christians or people who call themselves Christians want to accept. That we are so wicked that somebody would have to suffer hell on the cross for us. People don't want to accept that. And so it causes division. Jesus said that the message, number three, of judgment would cause division. Jesus said this message would cause division. He said this in verse 51. Suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three, and the father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father. You've experienced this. You get saved. Today, I was reading the story this afternoon of an Amish man who was in our services last week. He has been a pastor, a Baptist pastor, for the last 30 years. He tells the story of how he grew up in an Amish home in Ohio. And then he always was religious, but he always knew there was more. He knew he had to get saved, and he knew that there had to be a way you could know you're going to heaven. And he went to his Amish leaders and he said to them, his father and his grandfather were ministers in the Amish community. And he said, can I know I'm going to heaven? And they told him, no, you cannot know you're going to heaven. It was a fascinating story. It's just like an 18 or 20 page pamphlet, but it was fascinating. He said, they told me, you cannot know you're going to heaven. God doesn't want you to know you're going to heaven, because if you do, if you know you're going to heaven, then you might go out and live a terrible life. And not knowing you're going to heaven will keep you straight and keep you on the straight path. And he said, as he began to study the scriptures, and he said, they told him, don't you read the scriptures. That's only for the ministers. And they had a German Bible that they had in church, but they weren't allowed to read the Bible. But he started reading. Once he got married, he started reading and studying the Bible himself. And he said he found an uncle that believed the Bible and had trusted Christ as a Savior who was still Amish. And they were all warning him, he's a radical, he's a nut, you can't follow him. But he was reading the Bible. And he said that he traveled all the way from Ohio to Missouri to be with his uncle. And he sat with his uncle for hours and hours and debated the scriptures until his uncle finally said, you're either going to have to trust Christ or your works. And he trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That guy was here in our services last week. I should have had him preach. He told the story. I haven't finished it yet. I'm a slow reader. It's 18 pages. I only got through like 13 pages. But it's fascinating. He said when that happened, he went back and he said, I had to get my family. We were going to escape from the Amish community. You just don't think about escaping from the Amish community. But he said, I got my family. And he said, all my family started huddling together and wouldn't let us leave because they thought I had lost my mind. It's an amazing thing. He said it caused division. My dad, he said, I love my dad. I was taught to respect my dad. I was taught to respect my mother. And I didn't want to be disrespectful to my parents or those that were my elders. And he said there was this division because of salvation by grace through faith. I want you to understand this, that religion tells us that we're self-righteous, that we're okay. And when somebody says, look, you deserve judgment like everybody else, that just goes against our religious grain. I preached one morning about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ here. And I said everybody needs to be saved. I do that from time to time. And at the end of the service, this lady was talking in the back. She wanted to get saved. I walked back in the back. She said, I want to get saved. She said, but I just can't get this down. You're saying that I'm just as bad as a murderer. I'm just as bad as a child molester. I'm just as bad as all the immoral people that are in this world. You're saying that all they have to do is come to Jesus and admit they're sinners? That guy that just got thrown in jail for molesting children, all he has to do is say, Jesus, I know that that was sin, that I am a sinner, and that I'm asking you to save me, and they can get saved? That's all I have to do, and that's the same thing I have to do? And she couldn't get over it. She couldn't get over it. She said, that just can't be right. I've talked to people. I got a letter this week from a Muslim. In fact, I got a letter 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, I listened to you. He either listened to me on the thing, got a tape, got something. I don't know. You don't get tapes anymore. You get CDs, right? And so he got something. And he heard me give the gospel. And he said, Jesus is not God. He wrote me and said, Jesus is not God. Jesus was a good prophet. Jesus did rise from the dead. Jesus did all those things, but he is not God. There is one God, Allah, and he's a messenger for Allah. I wrote back and said, he is God. Allah is not God. I said, there is no Allah. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He suffered and died and paid the penalty of our sin. And you've got to put your faith and trust in him to get to heaven. And that's the only way you can get to heaven. He wrote me back 4 pages of scriptures from the Quran telling me he did rise from the dead. He did this, but he is not God. There is only one God. And what you say about Jesus is absolutely wrong. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. The message that I am preaching causes division. It causes division. The religion says good works will get you to heaven. Trust God. The religion of America has become this, that there's one God, but you can call him anything you want to. I want you to understand, Israel, according to the prophets, Israel was denied the blessing of God and thrown into captivity and experienced the judgment of God because they taught that blasphemy. They taught that you can call our God by any name. And they worshiped Jehovah God the way they worshiped Baal. And God said, I'm not having that. And then they started worshiping. They changed the name of Jehovah to Baal and started worshiping Baal. And they said, we're worshiping the same God. We're just calling him Baal. And God said, that's the end. And judgment fell. I want you to understand, it's a very serious name. The Bible says there's one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that's division. That's division. That causes division. You talk to some Christians and say, why make such a big deal about the name of Jesus? Because the name of Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. It's the only way. And it is the dividing point. And Jesus says, look, I want you to understand, when you start talking about this, that if they don't receive me, they're going to suffer their own judgment. I'm here to receive the judgment. The judgment, the fire started when I came to this earth and Satan didn't want me coming. And I came. The fire started. It was kindled. And I'm going to the cross and I'm going to suffer and die. And I'm going to take the judgment upon myself. But I want you to understand, if you don't accept what I did for you, then the judgment of hell is coming. The judgment of the destruction of this earth is coming. The lake of fire is coming. And when you start preaching that kind of truth, there's going to be division. There's going to be division. Well, I think, you know, if we just live for Jesus, people will love us. No, if you live for Jesus, Jesus said some people are going to hate you. He said if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And that's just the truth. And right now we live in a time where Christianity wants to be culturally acceptable. Well, I want you to understand, you can be sweet and nice, but as soon as you tell somebody who thinks they're going to heaven, you're going to hell, they're not going to like it. That's the truth. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. When you start telling religious people, those sweet, wonderful religious people, you're going to hell. They say, whoa. Well, you have the right to believe what you believe, and I have the right to believe, and we'll all wind up the same place. No. You have the right to believe as an American what you want to believe, and I have the right to believe what I want to believe. And what you believe is that everybody's going to go to heaven, but I want you to know what I believe is you're going to hell. Those are fighting words. You need to understand that. Now, by the way, you need to be gracious about what you say. The Bible says, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. Do you understand that sheep are supposed to be careful when they're amongst wolves? Do you understand that? You're not supposed to be big mouth shooting off your mouth, but you need to understand the reality. You're out there as sheep amongst wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Proclaim the truth, speak graciously, but speak the truth. Jesus' message is one of division. When you start preaching to Christians, listen to this, when you start preaching to Christians that you need to live holy lives, there's a cause for division. Christians will say, you're a legalist. You can't tell me what I can do and what I can't do. You can't tell me it's all right to do this. You can't tell me it's not right to do that. Who are you to stand up? I'm a messenger from God. See, as a messenger from God, I'm supposed to tell you what is right and what is wrong. And there's a bunch of weak, willy, little, weak-kneed preachers that won't preach anything. They stand up and just tell you how Jesus loves you. And he'll just hold hands with you no matter what sin you're in. You just go out and do whatever you want to. Jesus loves you. I want you to know he does. And he spanks those he loves. You're bad. You do bad. He's going to spank you. And there's a lot of Christians that are having a miserable time in their life. And they don't understand why. But it's because they're under the chastening hand of God. People will say, well, I don't think we need to preach the law. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle in any wise shall pass from the law till all these things be fulfilled. Then he says this. This is what Jesus said. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. I don't care how big the church is. I don't care how many people think he's wonderful. If he's telling people, you don't have to obey the law. You don't have to listen to the law of God. Just ignore the law of God. He's the least in the kingdom of heaven. And he says, whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. You just need to teach people that you're saved by grace. But the law of God is the way we find out what God thinks is right and wrong. And we ought to do everything we can to obey the law under the Spirit of God. That's how we should live. Jesus' message would cause judgment. And he makes that clear. And it's the message of salvation, the message of salvation by grace, the message that there's only one God, the message that now that you're saved, you ought to live a holy life. That'll cause division. Jesus said, I want you to understand, I've not come to give peace, but a sword to divide. Fourth, he says this. Jesus points to the Pharisees, to the signs that would show who he was, but they rejected it. That's when he says in verse 54, and he said to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. You are able to look around and you're saying, look there. My wife knows this. My wife is very good with this weather stuff. She loves the Weather Channel. She loves me and then the Weather Channel and then her children. That's not the case. I just exaggerated. She knows the weather. I have a weather app on my thing, and you can look and you can say, and the people that study the weather, if a wind is blowing from the south, my wife will say, that's a warm wind that's coming from the south. I don't even know where the south is, but she knows those things. And she said, oh, look, it's blowing. It's going to get cold, David. She says these things to me. It's going to get cold, David. I said, how do you know? She said, the wind is coming from the north. Look north, David. Which way is that? That way. I said, okay, that's north. I finally figured out we live north. And so if you keep looking in the way that we live, then that's north. And so she said, look, the clouds are coming from the north. It's going to be cold. And what she does, she said, those people in that day knew. He said, you can look at the sky and you can see, when you see the south wind blow, you say, there'll be heat. And it comes to pass. And then he says to them, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You can discern the signs of the time, but you can't figure out that what I'm telling you is true. You can't tell by what I've done that I am God, that I am the Messiah. And you're going to reject what I am telling you. They would not accept their sinfulness. He said, you know that you're sinful, but you won't accept it. You know that by everything that I've done, you've known by my works that I am deity, that I am God, that I am the promised Messiah. They rejected the message of judgment. They said, we are not accepting this. They would not. The Pharisees would not. They rejected him. And Jesus said, because of that, you're going to suffer the fires of hell. And that was their destiny. Jesus pointed to the Pharisees, to the signs. Look at. Just understand. Today, you can look at people and say, do you see what's going on? Don't you see what's happening? It's an amazing thing. As a Christian, don't you get frustrated sometimes when you look at people believing certain things and you say, how can you believe that? How can you be so intelligent and yet so ignorant of what is happening all around you? Is that not a frustrating thing? You see somebody heading into sin and you're frustrated. It's because they've rejected truth and the judgment fire is coming upon them. So, having said all of that, Jesus makes this last statement to us as believers. He says, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate in this present world, when you go with your adversary, when somebody's fighting against you, as thou art in the way, give diligence. Just work at this, that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. What's he saying? Jesus says, in this day of division, you better pick your battles wisely. You better decide what you think's worth fighting for and what you think's not worth fighting for. If somebody wants to take you to court, agree with them. Just settle out of court. Because you've got business to do. You've got judgment to preach. You've got to go out and tell people Jesus is coming. You've got to go out and preach the gospel. Don't be getting involved in squabbly things. Money is not important. Things are not important. Don't get all upset about and waste your time battling over material things that are all going to burn up anyway. Just if somebody wants what you got, give it to them. And get on with what you're supposed to be doing, telling other people. God will provide you with more. You have no reason to fuss and fight over this world. This world, just agree with him. Don't fight those who will not receive the truth. If somebody doesn't want to receive the truth of the gospel, then just go on and give it to somebody else. You see, because if you won't receive it, maybe you will. And if you won't receive it, then maybe you will. But all I have to do is understand this. I'm not here to fight the battle. Jesus will take care of the battle. I'm not here to defend myself. Jesus is here to defend me. I'm here to do the work of God. Go out and tell people about Jesus and be busy doing what God wants you to do. Be the husband you're supposed to be. Be the wife you're supposed to be. Be the child you're supposed to be. Be the father, the mother you're supposed to be. Be the person God wants you to be. Live the life that God wants you to live. Reflect Christ in everything that you do and say. Be there as a representative of his kingdom. That's a reminder to the world that judgment is coming. And if they hate you for it, you just keep doing what is right. But don't get involved in battles that people want you to get involved in. Just keep doing right. Fire is coming. Leave the judgment and the retribution to God. Can you say amen to that? And that's what Jesus is saying when he gives this last bit of information. Look, in this day, in this world that we live, in this time, for the last 2,000 years, the fire's been kindling. The fire's been burning. It's here. And it's going to end up with all of this burning up. So you and I are to live in this world as lambs in the midst of wolves, as lights in the midst of darkness. We are the opposite of this world. So be careful. And when somebody accuses you of something, somebody says, you're a sinner, just say, you're right. What did I do this time? I agree with you. You're right. And just go on. Don't waste your time in the fight. Just go on and tell people about Jesus Christ. Hey, this message that we preach, hey, it's a message of peace. And those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have the Prince of Peace that come and live inside of them. And they have peace with God. And they have the peace of God. And they have peace with man. They have that because they've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But those who reject it, man, they're divided. And there is a division. I don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't believe that you're saved by grace through faith. I'm not going to receive the truth of God. You're not going to tell me how to live from the Bible. I'm not going to hear that. And they reject it. And when the division comes, look, understand it's coming. And it's all proof of the fact Jesus is coming soon. It's all proof of the fact that we're in the midst of this battle. And it's all proof of the fact that he is God. Isn't it amazing? Look, isn't this amazing that people don't use Buddha as, nobody says, oh, Buddha as a cuss word. Nobody says, oh, Allah, Allah, Allah. Nobody does that. But people do use the name of Jesus Christ. They use it in vile ways and say, why? Because he's the only one that the world and the devil's fighting against. And it's proof of the reality of who he is. Jesus said, look, you're in this thing. You better be careful. Just serve me. Be wise and don't get involved in the battles. Leave the judgment and the retribution to God. Can you say amen to that? If we do that, then we can move forward knowing fire has come and is going to continue to come. And understand this. When someone wants to divide from you, don't argue with them. You don't have to fight. You do not have to fight when someone is fighting you. When somebody wants, I don't argue with people about the gospel. I said to my brother years ago, he said to me, why don't you ever tell me about Jesus anymore? You just never witness to me about Jesus anymore. I said, well, you're right. He said, well, why? I said, I have talked to you and talked to you and talked to you. And I said, you get mad every time. I said, so one of two things is true. I said, you're a Christian and you're in rebellion to God. And if that's the case, then God is going to chasten you and he'll deal with you and he'll give you hell on earth until you get right with him. So I said, why should I fight with you over this deal? I said, number two, you know the gospel. You know how to get saved. And if you're not saved, then you're going to die and go to hell. And if you die and go to hell, then, man, that's a horrible thing. Why should I make your life miserable on this earth? I said, that's the way it is. You're either going to be miserable one way or the other. I'm not going to add to your misery. And he looked at me and said, how can you say that? Like he just told me he didn't want me to bug him about Jesus. So I stopped bugging him and he's upset. The truth of the matter is you don't need to fight. You don't need to fight the battles. All you have to do is serve Jesus. Battles will come your way because the fire is here. And division will come. You just love the people, even when they divide from you, and share Christ and love people. And you'll see many people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what we're here to do. Can you say amen to that? Let's pray. Father, help us to share your truth. Help us to understand that when we share your truth, sometimes it will cause division. But help us to be faithful to do what you've called us to do. Help us to share who you are, what you've done for us. Father, I pray if there's someone here that's not saved, that before they leave here, they'll put their faith and trust in you. And I ask this in your name.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.